Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, hour number two on a Packer game day. Todd, how are we doing on our polls today via the text?
Speaking about Vegas, is it overrated or not? 95% of respondents say Vegas is overrated. 5% say it's not.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
How are we doing on the Jordan Love passing yardage for $25 gift certificate to the Depot?
We got a couple of people in already. Bill has 288 yards.
Ooh, okay.
Terry says 248, and there's several others, too.
All right. So. Bring it on, folks. $25 gift certificate at stake. Cannot go over Jordan Love passing yards tonight. Green Bay Packers against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Raiders. Tough game.
Yes. One of my favorite. No, I shouldn't say this. One of my most memorable games I ever came to. One of the first Packer regular season game. Maybe the first Packer regular season game I ever came to was September 25th, 1972. Okay. Mm-hmm. Green Bay Packers against the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great season. The Packers went to the playoffs that year. It was a big surprise. It was a fun year. But there was a 104-yard fumble return for a touchdown by Jack Tatum. The Packers tried running an option play. Scott Hunter pitched it to MacArthur Lane, who fumbled. And he fumbled it into the end zone. It was picked up by Jack Tatum, notorious Jack Tatum. You know the story on Jack Tatum. And he returned it and then the NFL came back and said, we screwed up. It should have been it was a muff or something like that. It should not have been returned for a touchdown. And because of that, the Packers could have been 11-3 that season, ended up 10-4, and had to go to Washington for the playoffs instead of hosting a game at Lambeau Field.
Wow.
And they got beat in that playoff game because what the Redskins did, they did an 8-man line, defensive line, and dared the Packers to run with John Brockton and MacArthur Lane. And Scott Hunter couldn't throw a football from here to the wall, and they dared him to throw. And Bart Starr was so upset. He was the offense coordinator. And he was so upset that he quit and told Dan Devine basically to shove it. And then the really? Packers had a serious decline after that. But they were on their way to something great in 1972. And then it just 73, 74, 75, 76, just abysmal years, obviously. But I think a large part of that is because of Dan Devine. And he wouldn't listen to Bart Starr. Bart Starr was a terrible head coach. I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, record-wise, he was a terrible head coach. But they see he was a phenomenal quarterback coach. And,
Yeah. So you think that 104-yard return was the turning point?
It was right
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Huh. No, I don't even remember that.
It turned the Packers' fortunes for the next few years of the 70s.
Okay. There and I never heard of the guy you touched it. You don't
never heard of who? Jack Tatum?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No. He wrote a book. It was a terrible book. It was called They Call Me Assassin. Okay? Because he paralyzed Daryl Stingley that time in that Patriots game. Remember that? That hit, that cheap shot he had?
Broke his neck.
You don't remember really? Jack? How do you not remember Jack Tatum?
I don't know. Because I don't
Todd,
remember
can we do one more quick poll?
No, don't.
Do you remember Jack Tatum? Yes or no? Just give me a yes or no. How does the mayor grow up in Green Bay and not know the name Jack Tatum?
Yeah, it sounds like an actor. Tatum.
He was a defensive
starring back. Jack Tatum.
He was the hardest hitter maybe in the history of the NFL, but he's also a cheap
shot
guy.
No, I think that guy just died.
He did. Jack Tatum, he did.
No. That guy from Chicago, wasn't he the hardest hitter?
Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Oh, he was something.
No, that was something.
Dick Butkus. Literally, I'll never forget. It's funny, I remember little things going up to. He was here for a Monday night game back in the 80s, and I went up to do an interview with him, and I was literally intimidated. He's sitting there in a tuxedo, but he just had this certain aura about him that was scary.
That's awesome.
And I'll never forget that, shaking Dick Butkus' hand. And it's like, okay, if this man wants to crush my hand into little pieces,
he can do it right now. Right.
And he still had that certain something about him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he was, but Jack Tatum was in his, sphere?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you not remember Jack Tatum?
That's I don't know, John. Incredible.
You're the only person having anything to do with this show. Chris, do you remember Jack Tatum?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Right. All right. We're focused
Todd,
on
Jack
what's
Tatum?
Important.
Yes or no?
No, sir.
Okay. I was seven.
How are we doing? Todd, okay. On that poll, Jack Tatum, yes or no?
12.
So far, no one knows.
No response.
Tatum. Okay, good. Well, thank you, listeners, okay. And wow. Studio guests in-house. Okay. For finally supporting me, because like John lives in a world.
Me.
John lives in a world that doesn't always exist, but that's okay. Are you okay now?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. All right. So we're going to shift gears.
72 was a great year, though. That was the best year of the 70s. 1972.
72.
72 was a great year. It's a great year.
I was 7.
Yeah, I was 11. Todd, how old were you?
2.
Yeah. How old were you, Jim?
I don't know.
You were 50.
Who ran for president in 72?
72?
Was that McGovern? Yeah.
Absolutely. What? Yeah,
nothing.
It was great music. Todd, I want all 1972 music for the rest of the show.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Let's, can we do that? Let's shift gears to what's important, though. Okay. I mean, we love our Packers. We're going to get back to the Packers before we wrap up the show. We have, it's only 7-11 right now. We in this community have talked about all the great things, and we love our Packers.
Can I interrupt you one time?
Yes. And then
One time. You mentioned 7-11.
That's okay. What time it is, Johnny.
No, I know that. But, you know, obviously, like, out west, when I lived in Arizona, 7-Eleven was the big thing. You know what I'm shocked at?
Notice how we stay focused, but go ahead, yes.
I was driving down Ashland the other day, and there's a Circle K. Circle K was huge in Arizona. When did Circle K make a comeback?
I think they're making a run in Wisconsin.
I didn't know they still existed.
Yeah.
Everywhere out west is Circle K. And it's like, wow, there's one in Green Bay now? How did that happen?
I'm just laughing the way that guy parked, like took up 2 spots. Oh, that's a guest. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, hi. Go ahead. Take 2 spots.
You do know you're taking up 2 spots, sir, right? He gives us a thumbs up. Excellent.
I couldn't see if it was a thumb from
that's
here.
That's awesome. Well, he gave a figure to you and then one to me.
Okay.
Introduce our special guest.
I am. And I want to just set this up a little bit. That is great as things are in Green Bay. Something we've talked about, we've had on the show a number of times over the last few months, is talking about our effort towards homelessness, and that continues. And you and I are down here every morning at 4:35, 5:30, and we experience homelessness probably more than.
Wait a minute. What time did you say we're down here? Did you say 4:30?
We'll get up. Okay.
Todd? Todd's here. 4:30.
I mean, nobody was here until about 10:02 this morning. So
today was late.
Really?
Today was late. Okay. 5:15. Okay. Anyway, and sometimes we experience some homelessness. But there are efforts being made and things being done. And I happen to work in that industry right now. I think one of the best facilities, efforts being made, programming things, in Green Bay is the new community shelter, and we've...
Can I just say one more? Can I interrupt you one more?
Yeah,
thing?
Sure.
The people that walk by with their dogs look so cool.
Dogs are cool.
But their dogs, their dogs just look
Chris is
cool.
A big dog person, too.
You know, they're not slobbering, they're not whatever, they're not...
He's teasing my dog, because my dog has a tendency...
I rode with him. Christy and I rode with him the other day, okay? Yeah. There was slobber over every window in that car, like you can't believe.
It's because he looks out the window.
Oh, my God.
But what did I do for you when I went after you teased me?
You couldn't look out the windows because it was pure slobber.
I heard that before he picked you guys up.
My God.
He had the windows washed.
It was incredible.
I went and had my windows washed and my car cleaned because I didn't have to listen to it on Monday, which I guess that backfired anyway.
So in that back seat that I sat in with that blanket, does he sleep there? Because it was loaded with fur. It was just loaded.
He doesn't shed. Oh, no, there wasn't. There was a little, maybe.
I had to take a lint brush to my clothes when I got out of there.
He doesn't shed.
Oh, he rolls around there and his fur's all over. No, he slobbers on the windows. He slobbers on the dash.
Oh, God, John, I just want to say that's dust from like.
And these other people walk by with these really nice looking dogs, well groomed, well mannered.
My dog is well groomed and well mannered.
Okay.
But okay, you, he's listening, you know.
No, I'm sorry, Milton.
Okay. So anyway, let's get back to something. Well, there's nothing more important than Milton, but something equally as important. No, what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes here is...
Get to it. You know what I mean? Just like...
Okay, I was going to say, what is this community doing regarding homelessness?
There you go.
What efforts are being made?
Beautiful.
What programs being
Beautiful.
Done?
Beautiful.
How are we
no
addressing
more
this problem?
Get to it.
Okay. And we brought someone in today that knows this industry and has worked in this industry, and she's if you had an organizational chart, which we do, she would be like the number 2 person at the new community shelter, which is a shelter here on Mather Street, been around for 20 years at that location. They have 88 residents, 100 residents that live there. They also serve a community meal program every evening to another 100 people that are need a good meal. And so, Chris Olson, how are things going at New Community?
You know, I think things are going good.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, John.
Welcome.
Everybody, you know, nobody really wants to talk about homelessness, but, you know, the New Community Shelter is a programming shelter, and I think one of the best ones in the nation. We concentrate on getting people back on their feet, and, you know, we have rules and expectations and hold people accountable. Been criticized for that sometimes, for creating barriers, I guess, but what we do works. People really have to do a lot of the work.
The operative word in, there's homeless shelters in Green Bay, and then there's you. The operative word is you are a programming shelter.
Correct.
So talk a little bit more about what is that, you put that word in between homeless shelter and then you preface it with programming homeless shelter. That's the difference. And
correct.
That's what you do.
Yeah, we when people check in, they have a, get a case manager. They have to meet with that case manager once a week. We are open 24/7, so it's not like, you know, they have to leave at any point during the day. They can stay there. They can do chores. They can help out around the shelter. They can look for jobs. They can communicate with family and friends, a lot of different things. But, you know, we have a curfew. You have to save 70% of your income after you pay your bills. It's just a really great program. It kind of gives people that accountability and structure that we all grew up with, right? I mean, you can throw free stuff at anybody, but is that really helping them, or
are you enabling versus encouraging? You know, and
yeah, it feels good to enable.
At some of these shelters, you know, you throw food over the fence and feed people. That's not helping. What helps people is when they've got to put in some effort to get something back and be part of a community. And there's classrooms there.
We have classes every day.
Right.
But people have finance. To really do the work. You know, I mean, we've had people come in and say, hey, you know, there's a lot of rules. I don't like that. And then when they leave, what was great? The rules.
Structure.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. We're going to set a quick break.
Stick around. Chris Olson, director of NEW Community Shelter, Mind on the Mare on a Monday morning. What? Candyman. Come to the right man. 1972. What? Thank you, Todd.
Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with you.
Sprinkle it with you.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle to the Candyman.
The Candyman.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mirror. Coming your way, Looking Glass. Brandy, you're a fine, fine girl. 721 WGBW.
John, we don't spin records.
Yeah, this is 1972. This is Brandy.
Okay.
Looking Glass. Only hit they ever had. One hit wonder.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what this song
reminds me?
I believe that's correct.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So Speaking of homelessness.
Whiskey and wine. Yeah. The sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. A good wife you would
that,
be.
You know what that song reminds me of?
What?
Big Mouth. They do a great, they you would swear it's Brandy. Or
Big
whatever.
Mouth does everything great.
They're
awesome.
That is a great.
And they want me to perform with them.
We're going to, okay, back. We got to get our guests.
As does the glam band.
Yes.
The glam band talked to me about performing with them.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
No?
I just think they wanted to get on our show, and now that they've been on our show a couple times.
Maybe that's it. But they've actually talked about having me perform with them.
Right, and now that they've been on the show, and we'd like them back without, I think they retracted that offer. But anyway, hey, we are talking about an issue that's facing this community. We have Chris Olson with us, and she is really the, I guess, vice president, for lack of a better term, of the New Community Shelter. How long have you been with the shelter, Chris?
About 16 years.
Okay, where were you before that?
I was with Special Olympics.
All right. And 16 years, that's a long time. I mean,
it is.
And what are you seeing? What's working? What's not working?
Well, you know, when I first started, or before I started, my idea was people need to get a job. And I didn't understand homelessness at all. And then I started to learn more about it. Obviously, I worked there. And I realized that a lot of things happen to really good people. And but what they need is they need structure. They need help getting back on their feet. They have to do all the work, you know. So I think, you know, with classes and just even the chore process that we have, I mean, that's accountability in action.
And everyone who's there participates in a chore every day.
Everybody does every day. It's their home. You know, I think, you know, we refer to people that live with us as residents, not guests, because when you have guests in your home, you tend to cater to their needs. You know, we're all together in this, and that includes staff. We're all, you know, it's like one big family, and we look out for each other, but we hold each other accountable. We have to, I have to do my job in order to keep the place running. I raise money. So, I mean, you know, and the residents have to do what they have to do. And a lot of times they don't realize what they need, but we can give them hope. We hand them hope, not free stuff. You know, I mean, it's right. It's just.
And you're strict with alcohol?
I mean, yeah, we're a zero tolerance facility. And, you know, that's considered a barrier to some. But it really is, you know, if you ask the other 109 people living there, is that a barrier? They'll say, no, that's why we're here, because they might want to work on that. And that's not the only reason people are there. You know, people just, there's different kinds of homelessness. There's, you know, chronic, there's, you know, the situational and generational, you know, the hidden homeless people that are couch surfing and things like that. But, you know, so there's a lot of different people that are there. We've had people from dentists to,
right,
you know, people that have dropped out of high school. I mean, so it's, there's really no, yeah, you know, typical person.
So with Chris Olson from the New Community Shelter, you're really talking about what works to help people get out of homelessness. And you know, you talked about the programming and the structure, and where that may sound a little difficult. We all grew up with programming and structure in our homes.
Well, exactly. You know, and I think we're getting back to that. People are getting back to that. Some people have never had that structure. So, you know, if you can learn about what caused you to be there, and work on that, and then work on other things while you're there, I mean, you're going to leave very successful. And it's a program, and yes, there's rules and structure and accountability, but it, yeah, works. We have proven success.
And you're so committed to that, and that the fact that you are open 24/7. You're open all year. Some of these shelters, it's like, well, it's May 1st. You're not homeless anymore. We're kicking you out. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, You've really got the commitment to help these people. And we've had someone on here that was a resident of your place. And just how beautiful it was that he was there, got cleaned up, fixed up, and now he comes back and volunteers.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that come back and volunteer. We did the marathon this year volunteering. It's not only important to our residents, but it's important to people that have stayed there to volunteer. You know, they're part of something. You know, they're helping, they're giving back in their own way. And yeah, we've got a number of people like Otis that come back, and they want to be a part of it. They want to work and give back.
They're very happy. And, you know, John, you've been there, right? And
absolutely.
You've met some and just see some people.
Very impressive place.
It is. And you got that. And not only do you take care of the residents like you that live there, but you also outreach to the community.
Yeah, we've got the rules and expectations, and it's not fun for people to have to leave maybe if they do, you know, if they relapse or something. But you know what? They can come back that afternoon and talk to their case manager. They can come and talk to an addictions counselor. Our services aren't just while you're there. They're, you have services for life. So, you know, but then again, you're learning a lesson, right? Something happens and you have consequences for that.
Right.
But you can still come back and
then at 5 p.m., not only are you providing a meal for the residents, and that's much of that's done by the community, right? This community meal program, but you're also opening it up to anyone who may want a well-balanced, healthy meal that evening.
Correct. You know, we serve, you know, 200, 250 to 361 was our highest, but we serve meals, dinner 365 days a year, lunch every weekend, all holidays. And we coordinate that with Salvation Army, who does lunch during the week. Mm-hmm. Service or, you know, resources are precious, and it's hard to, you know,
yeah,
raise money. I mean, but so we want to make sure that we're not duplicating services as well.
Right. I think it's great what you're doing. We're so fortunate to have you guys here. We're
going
to have some of your residents back here because, you know, this and quite honestly, some drug addiction problems need to be talked about. We can't just
sweep
them under the carpet. And thanks for being a leader in this.
Yeah, well, thank you for, you know, bringing these issues, you know, homelessness, drugs. It's
right.
All important
stuff.
We got to
talk about it. All right, Chris. All right. We will see you this week. Have a great week. Thanks for coming in. Mindle the Mayor. We're going to be back in just a few minutes here. We're going to go to a quick break. WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a Monday morning. Green Bay Packer game day. Get your picks in. How many passing yards will Jordan Love have? Without going over, $25 gift certificate coming your way to the depot for he or she who comes closest. What was yours again?
200 exactly. What's 200 his average, Johnny? Do you know about?
About 240.
Okay.
All right. What?
I might have to up it a little bit.
No, you can't.
You can't. Once the bid is put in, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Todd.
No, you guys.
I'm so glad.
Oh, but you guys.
Chris, what were you without Todd?
No.
You know what we'd do without Todd.
Yeah.
He's the best.
No.
Without Todd, there is no Mino and the Mayor.
No, there's
thank
without
you, Todd.
Todd, there's no.
There's you know what? You'd be out of control.
With
you'd
Todd,
be out of control.
No, with Todd, there's
you'd
no
be
mayor.
Out of control. No, you don't be like it'd be like you as mayor without a city council.
No,
just running roughshod.
That would have been great.
Todd,
that
am I right?
Would have been great.
Todd, am I right?
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment.
Right,
you should take it as a compliment.
All I'm saying is you guys have a tendency to change the rules.
No, we don't.
When we have
you
our
have
contest,
a tendency
no,
to.
You move the goal line.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Natalie, are you into football?
Natalie Albert is our very special
yes.
guest.
Who's
Green
been
Bay
on our
Prep
show?
Gazette, who's just amazing.
Columbia grad.
World-renowned
East Coast.
Poet.
We're so glad to get
the
her.
Long Island. Oh, my God. Did you see the Tony the Buttafuoco thing?
Which one?
They did a new one. It's like revisited.
No.
The Buttafuocos.
No, I haven't been keeping up with the Buttafuocos.
How far do you think you live from them?
Where do they live again?
Long Island.
I know, but where?
Well, I don't know. Long Island.
If I remember.
That's like, I remember my daughter. She lives in Brooklyn. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Jim's daughter lives in Brooklyn.
They must be neighbors.
Dad, there's like 5 million people.
They must have, John's like, they must be neighbors.
They must be neighbors. Like, what if they know each other?
I'll say that I probably live 20 to 40 minutes from the Buttafuocos.
Oh, okay.
But or my family does.
But Long Island is, that's,
yeah.
But you
that's a wide range.
Right. That's,
you get to a lot of places in that time.
But again, from New York, from the city of
from
New York.
Oh my God. You almost said.
I knew he was going to say
wow.
it. From the hood of Long Island.
Okay, there's no hood in
Chris,
Long Island.
Chris, back me up with something that we were arguing about this morning. Yeah. How slobberish were the windows of his car?
You could barely see out the passenger seat window.
That's because that's where my dog sits.
But then we had an event to go to, and he said he had a meeting, and he came back, and the car was spotless.
Went and got
the dash was clean.
Went and got it
detailed. Everything was spotless. I just cleaned my car yesterday.
Yeah. He that's where he sits, and he looks out the window, and sometimes if the window's not down, then he does when he puts his head out.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's in the way.
But I did clean it up for you because I didn't want to hear about it Monday morning, although that's all we've been talking about. So
too late.
But Natalie, yes, you're here.
I am.
And we're very blessed that you chose to live in Green Bay, although we are the number one place to live in the United States.
What do you think of the noise on Saturday nights downtown?
I mean, I we've talked about it.
I know.
I do not like it. I think it's really annoying. And coming from New York, I think it's louder in some ways because we don't, in New York, you're not trying to like, I don't know what people are trying to prove when they rev their cars like that. Like it's, and that's all they're doing all night. That's not interesting.
And that's the thing. It's like, if somebody's going someplace, okay, they have a lot of car and they're going to a destination.
They're
but
not.
This is
the destination.
Playground.
This is a playground.
Yeah.
And I don't. There's so many other things to do on a Friday and Saturday night that
are
interesting.
Okay, but I will say this. I mean, you're a young woman and whatever, and it, so it let's be honest, that really turns women on when guys have loud cars, doesn't it?
And they take and they,
not at all.
It's like, do guys think that for some reason that that's?
It's interesting when men, like in these very fancy cars, when they see ladies, they rev their cars and it's like, why do you want to give me heart palpitations?
Right.
That's
right.
Not romantic.
Yes. They're trying to compensate for something else.
But, wow. I don't know about that.
No, I think there's some studies there's
some, we don't know what
motorcycle
egos. That's what I meant. You know,
you sure you did. Sure you did. Yeah. Okay. They're,
thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you. They're tight jeans and their
Todd's
ego.
Todd's laughing over there.
They buy these vehicles and then they modify them to be loud.
Yes,
it's not
they do.
Like it, people say, well, go to the manufacturer, you know, crack down on these guys. And I tried that and they're like, look, Mayor, we're not selling them like that.
I like they're that they're calling you Mayor.
I know, right? This has been an issue with me.
If you're in the studio, you must refer to him as
Mayor.
No,
you don't. No, I was referencing that this was 15 years ago that this has been a pet peeve of mine. Johnny can attest to this, and so can anyone who has worked with me or for me. Loud noise is, I think, so disrespectful.
It is. And there are potential ordinances.
But they have to be enforced.
They do.
Have you ever seen anybody pulled over in downtown Green Bay for any reason?
Not really.
Never.
No, I've seen, and I've been pulled over for having a headlight out. It's like it's potentially
it's like
a
downtown
safety concern.
Green Bay is like whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that, but I wish they would enforce noise ordinances as much as they enforce parking ordinances.
Yes, I agree with that. 100%.
And if they would just be consistent here, we would have a better city.
I agree.
Because we don't need new laws. We need enforcement of existing laws.
Yeah.
Because
they're
out there, and believe me, I talked to a friend of mine, and zero citations for loud noise, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy that it's zero. I mean, if it was 50, 60, but zero.
If I took an old-fashioned boombox and played AC/DC till 2:30 in the morning on the corner here, I guarantee you somebody would call and I would have to turn it off. Correct?
I don't know.
Let's
not
try
around
it.
Here.
Let's do it. Let's do it right downtown. Let's get a boombox. Todd, do you have a boombox?
I think you get points for nostalgia.
John, yeah, maybe get points.
There's
yeah.
a risk with that.
Let's
there's
do it.
No, you could get fined.
I will not get fined. There are no cops in downtown Green Bay on Saturday nights.
They might want to make...
Wow, tell everyone that.
I'm not... No, I think what we need to do is, you know, you get more, what do they say, more bees with honey or what?
I don't know, whatever you're talking about. But anyway, so...
No, I'm just saying, we should be nice about them and invite them down here and say, look, you guys, let's work together.
All right. So anyway, you and Natalie have something in common I want to talk about. And Christy was very nice to give you baskets. You're both going apple picking this weekend.
Yeah, I know. And Christy, we got to get, Todd, you got to get a picture of this on, or Johnny, you do the website stuff or the Facebook, whatever you insecure people do. But somebody needs to show off that little basket we got.
Shot across. Todd, what was that? What the?
It's interesting that he said that,
yeah.
but yet he's the one demanding that it go up on Facebook.
Yes,
right?
That's because that's what...
Yes.
People, I tried to argue with that guy from Civic Media, and I'm like, hey, look, man, I don't want to do this Facebook. And I gave him my opinion on Facebook. He's like, look, you're wrong. That's what people do. So we have to do that. So anyway.
Where's the insecure thing come from? What was that?
John, I kind of talked to you off air about, I think people who post, there's a thing right now on all these people posting their like, you can't, everybody who's at the
Todd,
Packer
please
game.
Please chime in.
No, after
Todd,
at the Packer game,
Todd.
We are going to see more pictures tomorrow of people in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And you know what they're going to have pictures of?
What?
Their face. It's not going to be a picture of the game. It's not going to be a picture of this new stadium. It's not going to be a picture of anything but them being there. Why? Who cares?
Proof of life.
I like that. Proof of life.
Proof of life.
Great band name.
Yeah.
Great band name.
Natalie, why do people post
instead of you some days?
If we're going to talk about Facebook, Natalie,
Todd, you in?
I think Natalie is with me on this.
I don't think she is.
What, on what, selfies all the time?
Yeah,
just people posting constantly.
No, I agree.
Do you think they're insecure?
No? Yes, but I don't think they're insecure about football when they're posting selfies in front of Lambeau.
No,
yeah, I think that's a very different vibe. Like if they're posting selfies of them, you know, like, here's my makeup routine.
Right.
Here's
what I'm cooking.
Yeah, I don't, cooking. You know, so you can let things be between you and your maker.
And look, do kids like that when their moms or dads post pictures of that when they turn 16? I don't think kids like that. My kids would disown me.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people who, a lot of mommy bloggers are getting sued by their kids for being, for exploiting them their entire life and putting everything about them on social media.
And did you hear that cop that this is an issue because you're putting your kid on their first day of school or my kids in school with their names and stuff?
Yeah,
you shouldn't do that. Perverts could maybe go, hey, Johnny, you know, your mom told me to pick you up today. And like, they know their picture, they know their name. Mm-hmm. That could be, God, that's the last thing I'd ever want to happen to any, but it just, but why? Like, my question is, it's not even, it's just why? Why do people do that? Like, nobody cares.
Mm. Some do. So in their little circles.
I mean, we have a Facebook thing. It's not Facebook, whatever that's called. It's just my daughters, their husbands, and grandma. But I don't think anybody else cares what we do. I mean, I don't care. I wouldn't want to tell them what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, but this, I don't want to get, this does not put me in a good mood, and I want to be in a good mood. Thank you for being here.
I hope Milton sues you someday.
that is true. Natalie, though, you, what is your title again? I know you're the, are you the, what is your title for the writer?
The mental health reporter for the USA Today Network.
And we had someone on from the new community, the homeless. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit, how are we doing? I want to hear it from your perspective that covers it. How are we doing as a community, as a county, when it comes to mental health? I want to talk about fentanyl just a little bit, because I know you've covered that.
Yeah.
And then your read on homelessness.
So how are we doing in terms of fentanyl use? Or
yes, how are we doing as a community?
Not great. Not great.
D-minus?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where we're looking. There's a lot of overdoses and hospitalizations due to opioids. They're spiking. They're on the rise. It depends on where you're looking. In this area, it is, in every year, there's increasingly more hospitalizations.
Is it worse than a normal person would realize? I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse of it, Jim.
Absolutely.
You've kind of got
it's much worse.
So you go ahead. You know, pull the curtain back.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's every year there's just more and more hospitalizations due to fentanyl. There's more deaths due to fentanyl, and beyond those events, the ways that drug addiction destroys your sense of self, and all those hospital bills, all of the ways that we just, like, when you're in the throes of addiction, you are going to spend all of your money on that addiction and feed it. So that's going to disrupt family. It's going to disrupt basic needs. It's going to disrupt everything, and it is going to lend itself to either people becoming homeless, people ending up in jails, people ending up in hospitals, all three in combination in some settings. So
I think the scariest part about fentanyl is that there's a thing, I think it was in New York City, at a daycare where kids were affected by it because there had been a deal going on, and they just had it on, like, the couch or something, and a three-year-old, touched it and got infected by it, or whatever you want to call it.
No, that's
right. I mean, it's such a scary thing.
And kids, more and more babies are being born with opioid addictions, right? Yeah, it's a real problem, and it's worse. When I was doing research on this, I was looking at where the overdoses are the worst, and it tends to be rural areas. It tends to be tribal land. It tends to be areas where there's a lot of low income folks, a lot of hard labor. You know, I mean, people who just spend their time doing physical labor all day that do have pain, the justifiable pain. So they'll start using something that's been prescribed by a doctor. This prescription runs out, but they're still in chronic pain. And it creates that loop of addiction and need because they've destroyed their bodies doing, physical labor.
And if I could jump into that, I could. Well, actually, we had Tony Mandarich on here a couple of weeks ago. We talked about that. There are so many NFL players that have problems later on because they get hooked on the pain meds that they get. They used to hand them out. Literally, they would have, I've seen it, where they'd have a jar of, I don't know what it was, Percocet, I think was one of them. And guys could take as many as they want, grab handfuls, and they got hooked on that. And then they're done playing, but they still have those pains. Because if you ever go to a Packer alumni game, you see these guys walking. It's incredible. It's like, it's almost like war veterans as far as, and you know, you don't have to be this junkie doing crystal meth in an alley to be an addict.
No, it can happen to anybody who gets a prescription. Maybe they get one prescription. They maybe get a refill, and then the prescription ends, and they're still in debilitating pain. So then, what do you do? There really isn't a lot of treatment for
Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. On a Monday morning. We got a lot going on here. We got a lot of moving parts. Natalie is joining us, who is one of our absolute favorite people to bring on the show. And we want to talk about something else. We're talking about the fentanyl issue, and you're so big with that as far as understanding what's going on in this community. But we also want to talk about Indigenous Peoples Day.
Today.
Today. Yes. It's today. So this is a very exciting day for Indigenous people. And it's, you know, for everybody, I think, is it's a day that is, it's a solemn day for a lot of people. It's to commemorate, you know, what this holiday is replacing, you know, Christopher Columbus Day. And a lot of Indigenous folks see and associate that with the first time that their tribes were discovered by Western colonizers and you know, basically reduced to
almost genocide.
Yeah, I mean, there is genocide, you know, with the smallpox blankets, with those very, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's the first ever use of biological warfare, you know, where people were going out of their way to make people sick with a deadly virus to completely eradicate them from a spot in on their land. So this is a lot of folks see this as an important day of reconciliation and a day of recognizing sovereign culture. 2 years ago is the first time a president proclaimed this day Indigenous Peoples Day, which was significant for a lot of folks. There's a lot of ways to commemorate. I know that the Oneida Nation today is having a whole day to commemorate Indigenous Peoples Day.
So is it a celebration or is it reconciliation? How do you rate? When we were growing up, Johnny and I were talking about this morning. Yeah. It was a celebration.
And me being Italian, that was a big thing. For the,
right. Sure.
Knights of, my dad was in the Knights of Columbus.
Yes,
I mean, it's a big Catholic sort of thing.
You know, I'm also Italian. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different days that, there's a lot of different folks that Italian Americans can applaud, and I think this one is, you know, again, it's the association that I think a lot of people have with Christopher Columbus that doesn't bode well. So, and to your point, Jim, it's really just a day to recognize that there are folks who have been here since time immemorial who. You know, this is their land and it's always been their land. I mean, the Oneida Nation, if you look at that history in the 1820s and 30s, they were forced here from New York. And that was because of harassment and, bigotry about who they were.
Helping the Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically,
yeah.
Defeat the
and
British.
They were allies. They were allies. Yeah. And nobody, it's like, people couldn't unsee them as this more, you know, and I'm using this with quotes, savage people. And that's so wrong. And so this day is a way.
And they were promised all sorts of things. And,
yeah, they were promised a lot. So this day is really, really to recognize the environmental impacts that has come from pushing tribes to, like, basically the edges of society when they're the people we should be listening to.
I just read a great book by a good friend of mine, David Marinus, who's a phenomenal author. And he wrote a book on Jim Thorpe. And it talks about the indigenous, and it talks about the Oneidas as well. There were a lot, they would take these young Oneida kids, and they would send them to these, whatever you like, schools, okay? And they would take away every single aspect of their heritage.
The boarding schools.
They would make them cut their hair, which was a sign of, you know, they were not allowed to speak their native tongue. It was horrific.
Yeah, they took their culture away.
And if the kids ran away, because what they would do is they would give their parents a stipend, a government thing. And if the kids ran away, they would take away the stipend from the parents. It was, and I'm not talking about 1600s medieval. No. Right. We're talking, you know, 1915.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. I mean, it's like within the last 100 years,
it was
basically.
Within the last 100 years. And there are so many unaccounted for missing children from that era.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Carlisle, Pennsylvania, there's a cemetery of unmarked graves without the names on them because these kids would die and they would just bury up and nothing would happen.
They find they find this all the time, relics of a schoolyard or a boarding school, and then like 200 young bodies.
That's exactly right.
You know, and it's just, you think about what it's like to suddenly be scooped. I mean, for these kids, for these families, it's almost like aliens taking you and forcing you to speak a language that, like, they're not giving you an education to speak. You don't know anything about what they're saying. And as they feed you gruel and make you do physical labor, they're cutting your hair, they're hitting you, they're hurting you.
It's almost slavery in a certain way.
It was absolutely that, but, you know, and so it's a real, blemish on in our history to have that. So I think for Indigenous people today is where they can celebrate their cultures, but then also recognize that in celebrating their history, they have to acknowledge how it was systematically taken from them. I think it's a great thing that we get to have this day, and I think every day if we can do our part. We can patron Indigenous businesses, and we can learn about the history, and we can, you know, do something to just every day that acknowledges a little bit of the fact that we are sitting on the unceded territory of Ho-Chunk and Menominee peoples.
That's great. I mean, and kids are learning this. Yeah. And taking a little bit different approach in some of the schools. Mm-hmm. And well, I don't know what the correct term is, if it's Happy Indigenous Day or I don't know what we
say. No, you can say
acknowledge it.
Recognize
it, right, for what it is.
But
works and all.
Well, thanks for writing about this, for bringing it out, for all your efforts you do with the Press Gazette. And these are just important things that we need to talk about. And the more we talk about them, the more we'll lean into it, and maybe we can make
it
better.
Jim and I always talk about this, about young, talented people coming to Green Bay.
Yeah.
You're from New York.
I am.
You could live anywhere in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you live in Green Bay?
First I came here for a job, but then I just fell in love with it. It's a great spot to live. I mean, you're right by the Fox River. I love running the Fox River Trail. I love being able to, like, I was talking to Christy about biking. Like, you know, you could bike to Ledgeview from here. You could bike to Outagamie County.
You can go to Wrightstown from here. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
We took the boat up the locks, but the other thing we could do, Natalie, that I think we're going to be doing together, apple picking.
Hell yeah. We're going apple picking.
We are. I'm going to show them the basket.
And you know what he's going to do? He'll have that on his Facebook.
Yeah. Look what I did, everybody. You didn't, and I did.
Wow.
I just want to, before we close out, we got 30 seconds. I just got a call when you were talking, and you're the important guest. A friend of mine is out at the game in Las Vegas. He said it is just flooded with Packer jerseys.
Wow.
So I think we got a chance. We got to get in there. We got to win. Have a great game. So we'll talk about it tomorrow morning.
Go Pack Go.
Natalie, thank you so much for being
here. Thanks, Natalie.
All right, Mino and the Mayor, back in tomorrow morning. Go Pack Go. See ya.